Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
We're hot. We're on.
What?
Hello.
Ahoy.
I think we're on.
I think we're on, too. I'm going to proceed as if we are on.
Yeah, it's really all we can do.
If we're on the air. Hey, it's Ropp and Suk, I think. I can't hear myself think, but we are, this is, first of all, what it do.
Yeah.
Very scared. I'm frightened. I feel like I'm in a bunker on the battlefield right now, taking incoming fire.
It's quite loud.
However, we press on. We're giving you a sneak peek behind us here of tomorrow night's Trailblazers intro program.
Yeah, we're out here at the Nike Hoop Summit today, and that game's going on tonight. But what they're doing now is they're going through like the dress rehearsal for all the pregame stuff for the Blazers. And it's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
What they're doing, unfortunately, is when they're testing it, they crank up the house speakers. And when that happens, we can hear nothing. We can't hear the station. We can't hear each other. And so for the next half hour or so, we may be white-knuckling this when the music goes up.
It's going to be great.
But we were told that it was ending at 3:30.
Yes.
So hopefully, it's not too bad. We were not aware that we were on the air.
27 minutes of this. We never know when it's going to start. And when it starts, we're just going to power through it.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can hear us. That's about the best I can do. I don't have anything else I can add.
No.
Other than, if you would like to describe what is to your left.
Nope. Nope.
Why not?
Not going there.
Describe it to the listeners.
I will not. We're up here high in the crow's nest and where the Blazer broadcasting happens. And
right where we'll sit.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Why?
Nope.
Why are you so scared?
That whole thing makes me beyond uncomfortable.
Why does that make you so uncomfortable?
I'm not touching it.
The poor man's injured.
Nope. Nope.
All right. Well, fine. Suk's sitting next to Wheels' scrote chair. It's great. It's a nice pillow.
Nope.
Everybody should have one of
those. Nope.
Not. Don't you think?
Not going to take the bait.
Can I get you one of those for Christmas?
Not going there.
All right. Well, hey, listen, let's get started with the broadcast. We are here for the Nike Hoop Summit, which is very exciting. It will be here tonight on the Moda Center floor. It is, if you don't know what that is, it's the 11th year in Portland. And it's been going on since the 90s, but the 11th straight year it's been here. And it's the top U.S. senior high school players against the top international players who are 19 years of age or younger.
And you look at some of the past guys that have come through here. I mean, this is a who's who of guys that are in the NBA. So, I mean, a lot of the guys that you're going to see tonight within 2 years are going to be in the NBA. And you got a couple ducks there. Bol Bol, all 7'3" of him will be here tonight.
Hey, Bol Bol was on the fan last night.
Yeah, he was on with Nemec, right?
Yep, Andrew Nemec interviewed him.
I did not hear the Bol Bol interview.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
I did. Do you want a review?
And?
He's young.
Yeah.
Do you remember? So we had Andrew Wiggins on the air once.
At this?
Yeah. It was from this.
Yeah, it's from this.
Well, actually, he wasn't on the air. We taped an interview, and we couldn't play it.
No, it was that bad.
Because he was just rough around the edges.
Yeah.
Bol Bol was, he was giving Andrew Wiggins a run for his money.
Just okay.
a young guy.
You're 17, 18 years old. It can be a bit awkward in front. I do remember the Wiggins interview
where
I don't think we got more than a one-word answer. I think at one point you were asking him a question about his game.
No, I said, what do you do best?
Yeah, score. then there was a long
succinct
pause while we were waiting for something else, and no, just score. I think at one point I asked, in an event like this, do you ever get nervous? And the response was no. And then,
of course not.
No, that was.
I'm Andrew Wiggins. I'm Andrew effing Wiggins.
Just not. I would have preferred had we gotten that.
Get that crap out of here.
He just gave me the no.
Yeah.
And then
so,
awkward silence.
Look, you know, you got some young guys, but I tell you what, you have the best. These are the best players under 19.
Yeah.
In the U.S. and from around the globe. I mean, you look at the past guys that have been in this game, Dirk Nowitzki, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins.
Because it's a who's who.
And each of the past eight number one overall picks in the NBA draft have participated, too. So the talent level is very high. Bol Bol is here. He's headed to Oregon. The other five-star kid that Oregon got, King, is I think he's a part of this, but he's not. He's not playing because he's injured. But Bol Bol will be playing tonight. Also, the number one recruit in the country is going to Duke. His name's R.J. Barrett. He's in this game. So, hey, if you don't have anything to do on a Friday night, you should come down to the Nike Hoop Summit here at the Moda Center.
Yeah, it's get rave reviews every year. And like you said, it's, what, the 11th that it's been back here, and people have nothing good things to say about it. And we'll be broadcasting. If you want to come on by and say hi to us, we're up here in the broadcast perch.
Yeah, you know where to find us. Now you do. It is.
That makes me so uncomfortable when you go there.
I just don't understand why you're so uncomfortable with that. It is what it is, Jason.
It just.
We all fight battles.
There's very few things in this world that make me uncomfortable. I kind of pride myself on, you can't really embarrass me. You know, I'll go.
Oh, I think we can. I think we found it.
But this is. You have found my kryptonite. It just makes me beyond awkward.
You don't like talking about enlarged scrotes.
No, I do not.
It's okay. I understand. Well, we will have Fran Fischilla up here on set. He's here covering the Nike Hoop Summit. He's coming up at 5:30. He's with ESPN. A lot of good directions we can go with him. He scared the crap out of me.
Wow.
Now they're just messing with
us. I may have made a little poopy there. Whoa.
Surprise.
Boy, that... I'm not kidding. Like, I full jumped back.
I think I pulled a muscle.
Wow. Gave me a little bit of heart attack. I was right about to comment the fact that Kansas has two guys here.
Oh, who are our guys?
Are they
about to be ineligible?
I was right about to say that, and then we got blasted with the Waco, the sonic boom there. what do we got? Quentin Grimes and center David McCormick are both two Kansas commits.
That's cool.
So
I'll look for them.
I'm sure they've been nicely compensated on their way to Kansas.
Well, I was going to say, I don't. But, this might be the last time they play in a while. I don't know.
Hey. But if the reports are anything, Kansas didn't know about it.
No, they were.
No.
They were
Bill,
you know,
Self
what?
Is appalled.
I bet he is. We are going to talk with Fran Fischilla. We'll talk to him about that.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it seems silly to think that any college coach doesn't know that that stuff's going on. So we'll ask. I mean, he coached in college. I mean, he would be the first to tell us.
Well, and you don't know what kind of level of honesty you're going to get. But I still believe that, with the exception of maybe like Rick Pitino and apparently Sean Miller, I just always assumed that honestly was the one thing that surprised me out of that whole investigation. I assume that if you are a top 100 player in the world of college basketball, you're getting paid in some shape or form. I just always assumed that it was the bagman plausible deniability, because I know that is really the college football model. Is a lot of teams have a guy and he's not on the coaching staff and he's not really a booster. He's just loosely affiliated, and that's just kind of what he does. And then the coaches have the ability to be like, well, I had no idea this guy's not here in official capacity. So when the reports were that you had assistant coaches, and in some cases, according to the report, you got Rick Pitino, and then according to some, Sean Miller, not only were they involved in it, but were directly involved in it. That kind of blows me away at the...
Have you not heard his denials?
Well, of course. You know, he's completely innocent. Both are. Both had no...
It's a misunderstanding.
But if it is true that...
He's still employed, by the way.
I know. Sean Miller's still employed. But, you know, we at least know that assistant coaches were directly involved in this. And the, I guess the brazen nature of that, just kind of whatever. We'll pay these kids and, you know, it'll come directly from our staff. That surprised the hell out of me. I did. That's the one thing that I wouldn't have guessed in that investigation.
Yeah, I think the brazen nature of it leads you to believe that everybody's doing it. It's just that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And it's almost like because it's so brazen, that lets you know how long they've been doing it and just how easy it is and just how normal it is for them to do it.
It's like one of those things, right? Like, I know this is a weird analogy, and I'm not trying to compare the one to the other. But it's almost like with drugs, right? Like, if you everyone growing up knew a guy that dealt weed, and it wasn't it wasn't a big mystery, right? Not many people knew the guy that dealt heroin. That was more of a behind-the-scenes sort of thing. And when something is normal and everyone knows it, that tells you just how, like, out there it is. And that was kind of your point with, if it really was this brazen where head coaches were openly talking about this on phone calls and assistant coaches were directly involved in this and there was no middleman, that goes to show you that, yeah, it was illegal. And yeah, it was against NCAA rules, but much like the whole weed thing, no one cared. It was just out in the open. It's like, eh, whatever. Yeah, there's rules against it, but we don't really care. Just goes to show you how it was not taken very seriously, which is interesting because it's an accusation that can take down an entire program and ruin a career, and yet people were being so cavalier about it.
Well, clearly it can't because Sean Miller is still coaching. Although that remains to be seen whether he'll, you know, how much longer he'll be on the job. Anyway, Fran Fraschilla will be by at 5:30. I want to tease Fran's. We'll talk to him about the FBI stuff, but also the Nike Hoop Summit. He knows the players here well. He knows the international players well.
Yeah.
There's one of these kids I think is going to be a top five draft pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the international. And then the big international kid that may go number one, he's not here. I think he's over 19.
And Bol Bol, also, folks, has a brother named Chris Mullenbol. And that is a true story. And the only person that knows that story, at least as far as I know, is Fran Fraschilla. So therefore, you will find out about Bol Bol's brother, Chris Mullenbol, at 5:30.
So there's Bol Bol and Chris Mullenbol.
So, all right, let's get started. Hey, a lot of different directions we can go. It's a Friday. So we could mix it up and go Andre the Giant talk.
Did you finally get around to seeing that?
I finished it last night.
I thought that was really, really well done.
We have Andre the Giant talk. Or we could go a little college football. I've got an interesting little nugget about the quarterback class coming in in the Pac-12. Or the hits. Blazers Pelicans game one tomorrow night. Pick your poison.
Let's start off with a little college football, and then we'll morph into some Blazer talk.
313 on the Fan.
Live from the Moda Center, site of the 2018 Nike Hoop Summit, this is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our show. We are at the Nike Hoop Summit. We are inside the Moda Center, where they are currently, if you hear background music and noise and various and sundry things. They are currently testing tomorrow night's Trailblazers pregame operations.
Yes, and we have been threatened. We're not allowed to take photography of it. There will be no photos.
Wait, who said that?
They came out over the loudspeaker.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, they threatened everybody.
I can't hear anything. But they are, it looks cool.
If you're gonna, it does.
If you're
going to
be
nice
here
job.
Tomorrow night, you're going to love the pregame intros. But
When the Moda Center gets rocking, it really is one of the best venues to see a basketball game in the country. I'll still never forget that big drought that they had in the playoffs, and they played Houston the 1 year with B-Roy and those guys, and it didn't go very well. Obviously, Yao Ming, that game one, they got slaughtered, but the pregame environment and the noise at tip was one of the better things I've seen, and that was just for a first-round playoff game. Can you imagine if this Blazer team ever ends up making a conference finals or an NBA finals, what this place will be like? It is an amazing environment here when these fans get it cranked up.
But tonight it's the Nike Hoop Summit, and that will feature the top U.S. senior high school basketball players against the top international players 19 or under.
Including R.J. Barrett's the number one supposed player in this class, and he's on the international team. I think he's Canadian.
We'll get some Blazers Pelicans coming up. Also some Andre the Giant talk. And it is Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
Are you scared right now?
No, I am not. Although, if you blast the music again and I'm not expecting it, that may cause
that
me to be a bit
scare
frightened.
You. Right there.
When it pops and you're not expecting it, it's like in a movie theater when like the villain jumps out. It does make you jump a little bit.
It's
but
a
I'm not a very superstitious kind of guy.
Nor am I, but... Yeah, well, it's like it's kind of hard when you're already dead inside.
Yes.
You know?
And you don't have a soul or feelings.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to wonder about being cursed.
But later, I have a freaky story for Friday the 13th.
Oh, all right.
For the club. It's good. But that'll have to be later. We're going to start with some college football. I was reading through ESPN's projections. Now, this is way too early, but it led me to something that I think is pretty interesting regarding the Pac-12. Now, But first I'll get to what they're saying regarding the BCS. Well, it's not the BCS. The College Football Playoff Final Four.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have already put out their FPI projections to show which conference is most likely to get a college football playoff spot.
And I'm guessing that's the SEC.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want me to skip right to the percentages, I will. The SEC is at 84%,
yeah,
at least one top four team.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is at 80%, at least one team. The ACC is at 65%. This is for the upcoming season. Based on strength of record, which I'll get to in a second. The Pac-12 is next at 51%. And get this, independents, 34%. Big 12, 26%.
Oh, my gosh.
Not good.
Well, I guess the independents will be bolstered up by Notre Dame.
Yes, you got that right.
But are they including the non-Power 5 in independents?
They must.
That would go like a Central Florida, because really the only independent that has a shot at that is Notre Dame, because the only other real independent is BYU, and I'm here to tell you that BYU has a 0% chance of making...
What, you don't like their coach?
No, I love their coach. Former teammate of mine. But unless the average-sized 24-year-old white guy all of a sudden becomes the dominant college football player, I doubt they're making a run to the college football playoff there. So that has to just be based on Notre Dame alone.
So they base those percentages on strength of record, which measures how strong a team's record is given its schedule. So it's based on the chance of an average top 25 team having the team's record or better given the opponents the team has played and where they played to date. So look,
I'm going to look at Notre Dame's schedule.
A higher strength of record indicates a more impressive accomplishment. It means that the team's win-loss record was more difficult to achieve. So in the 4 years of the college football playoff era so far, 15 of the 16 playoff teams entered the postseason with a top four strength of record. The only team that wasn't was Ohio State in 2014, and that was the team that played Oregon. So their full projections they have put out, again, just stupid projections based on based on the win-loss records of each team, mm-hmm, right? They go through the schedule. And so obviously the SEC and Clemson, the SEC is the favorite to land a team, and they also have a 28% chance of landing two teams.
Well, the beauty part about the SEC and you know, you can argue all you want, and I'm not here to say that you're right or wrong when it comes to this perception, but the SEC, it's the one conference that you're guaranteed even a one-loss champion gets in, right? There's no way that we talk about a one-loss Pac-12 or a one-loss Big 12 isn't guaranteed to get in. A one-loss SEC team is. I also think it's the only conference that has a better-than-average chance of a two-loss team still finding their way in. It pays to be in the SEC when it comes to putting a team in the college football playoff. So we saw last year, you put in two.
Based on this, there's a 28% chance of at least two top four teams for the SEC, 26% chance of one team from the Big 12.
That's how skewed this is in favor of the SEC as opposed to the Big 12. But look, the Big 12 and the Pac 12 don't have anyone to blame themselves. They're not good conferences right now. I mean, last year it wasn't in either one.
Okay, so here's I'll go through the teams that they project to have the best chance at the college football playoff, and then I'll tell you what may be the one, maybe one shining sort of nugget of hope, mm-hmm, for the Pac 12. Which I got out of this, but Clemson has a 54% chance, based on strength of record, of making the college football playoff. Best chance in college football.
Well, and this is going to be like, you know, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, talks about this all the time, that there are a couple schools that are going to be, from a talent standpoint, that much better than everyone else in their conference, and I'm assuming that Clemson and Florida State are head and shoulders above most of the teams in the ACC. Same thing with Ohio State in the Big 12, or not the Big 12, excuse me, in the Big 10.
Alabama is 40%. So Clemson, a much better chance just based off of this.
And I think that boils down to, again, probably the talent gap with Clemson in the ACC versus Alabama. You know, there's going to be some other teams in the SEC from a talent standpoint that are going to be on par.
Georgia, 38%, and then Washington, 36%.
Really?
Yep. They're in the top four.
Huh.
Then there's your independent, Notre Dame at 34%, and then your usual suspects, Ohio State, 32%, Auburn, 23%, Penn State, 21%.
I'm going to have to take a look at the doggies and what they have from a schedule standpoint. That surprises me that UW is that high.
The other Pac-12 schools are a bit down the list. Stanford's at 9%. They have the next best odds based on this. And then you've got USC at 7%, and Oregon did make the list. They only list about 30 teams here, but Oregon is at 2% near the bottom.
We don't know. It's going to be hard to predict what Oregon has, and obviously a new coaching staff. But when you look at Oregon's schedule, Oregon's schedule on paper is a 10-win season.
It's the easiest schedule in FBS, according to this article.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 actually has the toughest and the easiest schedule. The toughest is UCLA this upcoming season, and Oregon actually has the easiest.
Yeah, Oregon on paper should have a very nice season. I'm looking at what UW's got. So they start off the year. UW's is not a gauntlet. They do play Auburn, neutral site. I think that's down in the new, Mercedes? Down in Atlanta.
Atlanta.
So they got that. That's certainly no layup.
If you're going to that game, give yourself 2 hours ahead of time at the Atlanta airport.
Yeah, but
I learned that little nugget.
Bit of a buzzsaw there.
I learned that nugget the hard way.
But then they get North Dakota, Utah, Arizona State, BYU, UCLA, but that's at home. Oregon is at home. Colorado, Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, Washington State. So it really, they're two biggest games you would assume outside of Auburn, that one. Their two biggest games, let's go Oregon and maybe UCLA, both of those are at home. So maybe that does set up pretty well for Washington. And they do have to replace a bit on defense, but UW hasn't really had a problem replacing defensive players during this run with Chris Peterson.
Okay, so the Pac-12, so as I mentioned, the Pac-12 is kind of middle of the pack, 50-50 shot at getting a college football playoff team, and that's, of course, obviously the odds-on favorite is Washington, as we mentioned. But it's kind of, you know, it's weird to think that as bad as the Pac-12 was last year, they're also losing all their good quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, Darnold's gone.
Well, Herbert's back.
Rosen's gone. Falk's gone. You're right. Herbert is back.
Herbert's back, and Browning is back.
Yeah, you got Jake Browning. So not all of them, but you're losing the main.
Yeah, Washington State's replacing theirs. Stanford has to replace theirs, although I guess, you know, with Costello, it was kind of a back-and-forth thing. But, yeah, a lot of the big marquee guys are gone from the Pac-12 schools.
Which shouldn't bode well for them because the conference was bad with them. But there is a silver lining, and I think you'll want to hear this. It's pretty exciting, and I'll get to it next. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
1080, The Fan.
All right, we're back here at the Moda Center for the Nike Hoop Summit tonight. Blazers-Pelicans game one tomorrow night here. Exciting sports time in the area.
Sports!
Winter Hawks are playing.
Yeah, they had a heartbreaker last night.
Who else do we have? The Pickles?
They got the Timbers.
The Timbers?
The Timber season's going on right now. It's not going so well.
The Thorns?
I don't know if the Thorns are going on.
If only Major League Baseball were going on tomorrow.
God, or the NHL. Wouldn't it be nice to have playoff hockey going on right now?
No, I want baseball.
Well, I do too.
I mean, that's cool.
I want baseball too. But
if hockey comes, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you something.
It's not
right
coming.
Now.
It's not.
And I've got my finger wagging in your face. Yeah, hockey is not coming.
No,
you're right.
Seattle
would get it first.
Yeah, they're not getting it.
But if hockey were to come here and impede Major League Baseball from ever coming here,
yeah,
that would have pissed me off.
Boy, that's because they're my two favorite sports to watch. That's tough. I would rather have Major League Baseball simply from the optic standpoint of I don't think there'd be anything better than a summer night going out and watching a game in the short sleeves.
It's all about the optics.
I would take
then
that.
And you still have the Winterhawks, which they're great.
You still get it. But, yeah, it was a heartbreaker last night. They went up, and then in the span of about 6 seconds, that lead went away.
Are you talking about the Pickles?
No, the Winterhawks lost a heartbreaker. Now they're down 3-1 in their series to Everett.
Oh, wait, they're already in the playoffs?
Yeah, second round.
Oh, all right. Go Winterhawks.
Way to go, Eagle Eye. And by the way, the text police was correct. I had that flipped.
They were correct.
UW is actually on the road at UCLA and Oregon. The way I was reading the schedule, I thought the home team was atop.
You idiot.
But UW does have to travel on the road to Oregon and to UCLA.
All right, so here's what I was talking about. So the Pac-12, we were reading the ESPN's strength of record projections for the college football playoff. Clemson, 54%, number one. Alabama, two. Washington was three at 36%. They had pretty good odds based on just the just scheduling.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the Pac-12, in terms of conferences, the Pac-12 is about 50-50. And, of course, their hope is Washington. The Big 12 is really the team that they don't – the Big 12 has a 26% chance, based on this model, of making the college football playoff. The SEC has a 28% chance of getting two teams in the college football. They have a better chance of getting two than Big 12 has one. So the Big 12 is the team that's really going to need a team to – or the conference that's really going to need a team to play well to get in there. But my point in all of this was – it's kind of scary to think how bad the Pac-12 was last year, and they lose Rose and Darnold and Falk, and I'm sure there are other quarterbacks on some other teams that they lost too. To think that the Pac-12 is suddenly going to be any better. I mean, we went into last year thinking, God, the Pac-12 is going to be really good. Look at all these quarterbacks. Well, it wasn't.
No.
Here's the silver lining, though, and this was pointed out by John Wilner of
San Jose Mercury News.
Yeah, the Wilner Hotline. Of the top 50 quarterback prospects in the country, in this class, 12 are headed to the Pac-12, and 4 of the top 10 are coming to the Pac-12. So you have, I'll list them for you, you have JT Daniels.
Now, are these people on campus now or next year?
Yes, they're coming in now.
Okay.
They're yeah.
They'll
well,
be
I mean,
freshmen.
I don't know
they'll
if they're
they'll be freshmen
They'll
this
be
year.
Freshmen. JT Daniels at USC.
Yeah.
He is number... three overall.
Yeah. I've read about him. People down at USC are all kinds of hot and bothered about him.
And I'm kind of going in order of their rank. But these guys are in the top 10. JT Daniels, USC. Tanner McGee, Stanford. Dorian Thompson Robinson. Wilson, Erickson Smith. Johnson.
And where's he going?
He is going to UCLA. His name's Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Okay.
He'll be with Chip Kelly.
I haven't heard of him.
And then... Tyler Shuck.
And he's the kid that a lot of people think will be the backup. He's already on campus at Oregon and practicing, and,
yes.
And people think he'll be the backup to Herbert this year.
Those four freshmen are top 10 at their position.
Well, and I do think that of the guys coming back, I know Jake Browning has an interesting – there's a bit of a love-hate there between him and UW. Jake Browning is going to have a big year. UW is going to be fine. So with Browning there, I think he'll kind of help bolster that a little bit. And then I think Justin Herbert has a chance, if he stays healthy and things go right for Oregon with that offensive line in the run game, if they can find a receiver or two, I think Justin Herbert has a chance to be a Heisman-type guy. I don't think he wins it because I don't think Oregon's going to be good enough. But I think Herbert, with the numbers and what he showed last year, one, I think this is Herbert's last year. I think he's gone after this year because I think he's going to be a top 10 NFL guy. But I think he's got a chance to really kind of be that next Pac-12 quarterback that gets a lot of hype, because Browning won't. He'll put up nice numbers, and UW will have a big year, but no one's going to mistake Jake Browning for a first-round NFL guy.
And here are the other quarterbacks that are just outside the top 10, but these guys are ranked really high. Utah got a kid by the name of Jack Tuttle, and then the two Washington kids, Collison Yankoff.
He's at UW, right?
Don't look at me like that, Swigard. That's his name.
Yeah, he's
Swigard. Look at Swigard over there diligently prepping for tonight's.
Well, Yankoff is going to have to battle with the Georgia transfer to replace Browning next year. Remember, they got that Jacob Eason.
Well, but hold on. The UW also got Jacob Sermon. So
Peter Sermon's kid.
Yeah, those two kids are quarterbacks that are ranked just outside of the top 10. So the guys really high but outside the top 10 are Jack Tuttle at Utah, Collison Yankoff, and Jacob Sermon, who both still are committed to they're going to Washington.
Yeah, and Jacob Eason was a five-star kid, like one of the two or three best players in the country, went to Georgia, started as a freshman, and got hurt, and now has been supplanted, and so he's transferred.
Yeah, they're loaded at quarterback.
Yeah, they're going to be fine.
There's a couple of other guys outside of the top 10, but these are other top 50 quarterbacks. His name is Cameron Cooper. He's going to Washington State. Stanford got another kid by the name of Jack West. And then Arizona got two guys. And then also in the top 50, just barely in, is Jake Dukart, who's a local kid going to Oregon State. All of those kids, every one of them is a quarterback, and they're all jumping into the Pac-12 this year. Now, it's going to take a couple years.
Yeah, but maybe in another, you know, 2 years, we've got a class where, again, we've got three, four guys in the Pac-12 that are really getting national headlines. And don't forget, you know, Arizona is one of the schools that you mentioned, you know, them getting a quarterback, and people kind of may roll their eyes about that. But that's Kevin Sumlin now down there at Arizona. So that may be an interesting one to keep an eye on. What type of player can he go out and get? Because he was viewed as such a dynamic recruiter at Texas A&M, and do people want to play in that offense? And so that's something to keep in mind as well. But for this year in the Pac-12, you look at all the guys you lost, and then even Washington State, not only did you lose Falk, but then unfortunately you had the horrific, accident with Tyler Helinski, who, you know, obviously tragically took his own life, and that puts Washington State, you know, a little further back because he was going to be the next guy. But when you talk about, you know, contenders, which is kind of what you were, that's how this whole thing started, to make the college football playoff, you know, USC, which is a traditional power, has to replace a lot, including their quarterback. You know, Oregon, I think there's a ton of question marks about the Ducks, although I think Oregon's got a chance to be a sleeper. Stanford, I don't think, is going to be what they've been in years past. I think some of the shine's off them. UCLA, no one knows what to make with a brand new coach and a brand new offense and no Josh Rosen. I mean, really the only team that does kind of fit that profile of a team that's loaded and ready to go is UW. And then I'd make the argument, if things fall into place, I think Oregon's got a chance to maybe be a dark horse sleeper team in that conference.
All right, so I'm going to steer back to this quarterback thing for one last little nugget. And that is, so I just named 12 freshman quarterbacks, four in the top 10, all of them in the top 50 that are coming into the Pac-12. So for comparison, and we don't know, I mean, none of these guys could pan out. We don't know.
Yeah.
But surely there are some studs in there. For comparison, Wilner threw out the best quarterback classes ever in the Pac-12. And I'll let you decide which one is the best, but I have four options for you.
Okay.
So currently, so it's too early to tell on these guys, but you have Tate, Herbert, Tyler Huntley, and Costello, the current guys,
yeah.
Pretty highly touted recruits. But if you go back, we'll go 2001, you had a class that had Matt Leinart, Kellen Clemens, and Derek Anderson.
That's pretty good.
Really good. 2011, you had Marcus Mariota, Cody Kessler, Kevin Hogan, Berkovici, and Brett Hundley. That's probably the best.
But when you talk about the depth, and you got a Heisman Trophy mixed in there, and people forget Kevin Hogan won some Pac-12 titles.
2013, you had Jared Goff, Luke Falk, Anu Solomon, Troy Williams, and Sefo Lufau from Colorado.
It's a solid class, but I still think I'm going to take the second one.
And then 2015, we don't know about the NFL yet with these guys, but 2015 had Jake Browning, Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen.
Yeah, it's funny because I was taking the NFL out of it. I was just going off of productivity and what you meant to your team, and I'll still take that second one. Now, the one you just mentioned, the Browning, the Darnold, that may end up, as far as NFL goes and where you end up getting drafted with Falk, that may end up being the best of those draft classes. But if you want to talk about just what you meant to your college program, I think it's Mariota's class.
You think Browning's a prospect?
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, he'll get a crack, but he reminds me of I hate to do this, but you know, because it's not a knock on anyone, but a guy like Kellen Moore, who is playing in the NFL, he's a backup, or Dorsey down at Miami when they were winning national titles. He's a solid player, but I think he lacks some of the basic fundamental skill sets that you need in order to excel at the next level. So I'm sure he's going to get drafted somewhere. And if he's a smart guy, he's an intelligent guy, can be good in the classroom and pick up offenses, then there's a chance that he sticks around the NFL as a backup. But no, I don't think that Jake Browning will ever be a starter in the NFL.
Okay, so just to point out there is hope for the Pac-12. A lot of good quarterbacks are coming in this year.
Yeah.
Again.
Well,
take a couple years.
And
but.
You have Herm Edwards down at Arizona State.
Yeah, so all is well.
we're all in good hands.
All right. Coming up next, Andre the Giant talk.
Can
we talk about that documentary?
That it blew me away.
For a moment. It is 3:45. We're at the Nike Hoop Summit at Moda Center. It's Isaac and Souk on the Fan.
This is a Nike Hoop Summit edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 3:50. We're at Moda Center tonight. Nike Hoop Summit is at 7:30, and it will be live here on The Fan, broadcast by Jason Swigart and Dusty Hera. He is now shooting signals at me that it is actually at 7.
Ah, well, he's here already prepping.
Yeah, I would have him on to talk about it, but he'd hijack our show.
That's true. But so, if you want to know something about this tournament,
yes,
he's the guy.
You know who else is here and knows all these guys really well is Andrew Nemec. You know, the fans got this thing dialed, man.
Yeah.
They got this thing covered.
Yep.
And big-time talent here tonight. So if you're looking for something to do, I hear that you can get lower bowl seats for $10.
Well, I was going to go down and hoop a little bit on the court, but I wore my boots today, and I think they're going to frown upon that.
Maybe you can just go socks only.
Let's go socksies down there.
Slide around like Tom Cruise.
Show bowl bowl what's up. Go down there.
Bowl bowl. I am actually looking forward to kind of seeing him in person and seeing what he's all about.
So he's what, 7'2"? He's got a 7'8" wingspan. This goes back to that. If he played hard, could you get a shot off against him?
Me?
Yeah.
No. Really?
Well, I just like I'm saying is that any
what do you
point
think I am?
If you were playing one on one, could you get a ball over the top of him? Like just kind of throw that hook shot when he's not expecting it.
God, one on one. No, I don't think so. If he's really going,
if
at
he's
me,
really going at it no. with a 7'8" wingspan, and I
don't think so.
I think he would have 30 block shots against you.
Yeah, I mean, I may be able to be a hero and get one off,
step back, you know, that, half court three,
right? Like a really a fade away over the head, like, you know, type prayer.
Hey, your shoe's untied, and they just wing
and
it up
I,
there,
and then I just then I just make fun of him for missing it. Bull, bull, you suck. Man, I got that shot off on you.
Can't even block my shot.
Idiot.
Goes into the third row.
Well, anyway, quick note. The Andre the Giant documentary, which is airing on HBO, and it is...
Speaking of 7'3".
Yeah, is that how tall he was, 7'3"?
They said anywhere from like 7'2 to 7'5". What he was billed at, and then the documentary, someone asked Vince, did anyone measure him? And Vince's quote was, he was over 7 feet tall, and after that, does it really matter? But there's photos of him in when he was in his prime, because
well,
as he got older, he kind of, he had to, I don't know what you call it, lean over the bad back.
He's slouched.
But there's a photo of him, and he's taller than Wilt Chamberlain. So, and I think Chamberlain was 7'1", and Andre was taller than Will Chamberlain.
Man.
So they say, let's say 7'3", 500 pounds.
Well, you guys got to watch this doc if you get the chance. It's aptly named Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And it's about an hour and a half, and it just reviews the life of Andre the Giant and just a lot of interesting new kind of stuff in there. There's never been anyone like him.
No.
And I think for people as old as us, we remember him.
Yeah.
And then, of course, people older, I'm sure, remember. Younger, maybe they don't. But
if you're younger, maybe the Princess Bride has been one of those movies that's kind of become part of the, I don't know, the fabric of I don't know, the country. It's a classic. I think everyone has seen that, and I would think that a lot of people know him just from that.
Yeah, he was. Well, if you don't know him, he was a professional wrestler, and professional wrestling, as many in the Northwest know, was local.
Yeah, territorial.
Territorial. And Andre the Giant came over from France, and he's actually, you know, what struck me about that doc, one thing, was how, you know, sort of like how thin and handsome he was when he was, what, 19 and 20 years old.
Yep.
He wasn't really as big then as he became later.
And then, unfortunately, it sounds like he was in so much pain. The older he got from his body, a giganticism, that he masked that with basically food and booze and was no longer, could no longer really exercise. And obviously the pounds came on after that.
Yeah, but he comes over from France and he wrestles mainly in the Midwest. And I thought they made an interesting point on there that I wonder if the mystique of him could be duplicated today. And you can take this in any sport, in any walk of life. He was word of mouth.
Yeah.
He was buzz because of no social media. You kind of had to, you could only read about him in the magazines if you didn't live in the Midwest and didn't happen to see him wrestle, because again, it was very territorial. The wrestlers would just wrestle in their own little regions. You would hear about him through those wrestling magazines, but, there was this mystique that was built about him that you had to go see him.
Yeah.
You couldn't just Google him. You couldn't just go on YouTube and see what he was like. You had to see him for yourself. And when you did, he was jaw-dropping in his size. There's never been anything like him. And I just wonder if that could be duplicated today. You know, if Andre the Giant were out here today, is he as big of a marvel because the mystique of him by so many people not being able to see him but have heard of him was kind of what fueled his popularity.
No, you can't have anything like that again. We've become so jaded with everything at your fingertips now.
Nothing impresses us.
Nothing
anymore.
Impresses you. I mean, you mentioned the other day that Z? What we're having now with this generation of kids that are growing up right now, like even to the notion where like they're not having sex because of internet porn that they've become.
Well, I think they are. They just don't do it at the
rates. It's less. It's because it's everything. Nothing impresses them.
I mean, I hope they are.
Not even that. I mean, think about when you were 18.
Come on, kids.
But even the idea of sex isn't impressing 18-year-olds anymore.
Right.
So, no, we've become.
Yeah, what's that all about?
I'm 39. It still impresses me. But yeah, this notion.
I've been working on my game lately.
been at the gym, have you? Working on your squat thrusts. But yeah, there's nothing like that anymore. I mean, the idea of something that's so unique that you have to go see it. I honestly, I joke, but I think Jesus could come down now and half of us be like, "Yeah, I'll watch it on YouTube."
Right.
It just isn't that kind of must see thing
I'll DVR
anymore.
It.
But for those people in the 70s, and then when Andre came to town, I mean, it was an event where an entire community would come out, especially these little towns in the Midwest. They would come out to see something like that. That's a once in a lifetime thing that cannot be duplicated.
So there are a couple of other little things. I don't want to kill all day with this. We're going to get to some Blazers Pelicans talk coming up in our next hour. We also have in the news. Hey, in the news, yesterday I was telling you about Fleetwood Mac and how they kicked Lindsey Buckingham out of the band.
He gone.
Today I have more popular band news.
Yeah,
we have another health issue that is causing a very popular band to stop touring.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you about that at 4:30.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and you're going to be pissed that these guys are no longer out there. But just a couple more things I want to talk about with the Andre the Giant documentary. Very fascinating stuff. We'll get to that next, and then we'll talk Blazers. It is 3:57 from the Moda Center. You've got Isaac and Souk on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.